Hey Health Junkies, Dr. Krause here. Just wanted to jump in and let you know about a new feature that I'm adding to the podcast. It's the ability to ask me questions. I've had a ton of folks tell me that they would love for me to cover their questions on the podcast, so I'm going to do it. So each week I will be adding a couple of questions that I'm going to answer to each of the podcasts. And if it's a juicy enough question, I just may dedicate a whole podcast to it. So if you're interested in asking a question, head on over to my website at drjkrausend.com. Check out a blue button on the right-hand side that says Ask a Podcast Question. Hit me up there. Or you can also access the button through my podcast notes also on my website. So head on over there, ask me some questions. I look forward to answering them soon. All right, let's get on with the podcast.
Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanine Krause. Today's episode is all about the mind-body connection when it comes to your muscles and your mobility and your movement to be fit for life. So let me premise this podcast with the fact that about 80% of folks who start working out at a gym with those January promotions, they're going to get fit, they're going to look amazing, end up quitting by May. And unfortunately, most gym owners kind of count on people bailing out because, well, you know, that's how they make free money, because people sign up for these memberships and they're not getting what they should out of that membership. And a lot of the times it's because their head is not in the game. Now, I'm really talking about here the mind and body connection. And a lot of us are, you know, it's kind of trendy to go to these mind-body connected spas or want to see a doctor that, you know, not only treats your body, they treat your mind, your soul, etc. And I think a lot of the things that we want in our healthcare should be applied to our fitness care as well. We really should be thinking about the exercises that we do. Do we have proper form? Are we mobile enough to do the exercises that we're doing? You know, I think a lot of people go into a workout routine and they're just kind of throwing themselves into it. And I'll be honest, when I first started working out when I was younger, I would throw myself into workout routines just to see if I could do it. I didn't care if I had my core tight. I didn't care, you know, what my form looked like. I just wanted to see if I could do it. And, you know, at that point, you know, I was a teenager when I first started really getting serious about exercise. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't going to get hurt, right? You're infallible when you're in your teens. You're like, yeah, whatever, you know, no big deal. And even if you do tweak yourself a little bit, you're fine for the most part, you know, the next day or two. Whereas now, getting into my 40s, I'm starting to realize that, holy cow, I don't recover like I used to. And in my practice, I'm starting to see a lot of ladies my age that have just darn given up on trying to exercise. They're too busy, you know, blah, blah, blah. They didn't get the results that they were looking for from the particular workout routine that they were using. And most of the time, it's because we didn't have that click between the mind and the body where we're like, oh, yeah, that feels good. Now, I hear this a lot of times from my runners, that they, if they could just, you know, get back to running. So ladies that have quit after having kids, or maybe there was an injury, something of that nature, and then they started to gain weight, and then life started to, you know, fall apart from there. But the big connection between all of these folks is that when they were running, they did get that runner's high. They felt that mind-body connection. They felt that in terms of, ah, endorphin release. That feels good. But for the folks that got injured, it was probably because they weren't running right. Either their form with running was off, or they didn't have strong enough glutes. That's the number one problem with most folks when they're running. They have tight hip flexors, meaning your muscles in front of your legs, like in front of your thigh, in front of your hip. And those muscles pull really hard, and your hamstrings get tight, and your IT bands, meaning your bands on the side of your legs, get tight, and those guys attach to your knees, so then you have knee problems, or you might have hip bursitis problems, which is pain on the sides of the hips there, or you have back pain. All because you're running miles and miles without strong enough glutes and probably in poor form, and who knows what kind of shoes you're wearing. Most people that are going to be running longer distances who have some friends or education with running do tend to go to those good foot stores to find the right good foot stores, the good shoe stores, where they find the right running shoes, or at least ones that are better than your average Joe running shoes. But shoes are one part of the equation. It's how you're running. It's strengths of all of the muscles required to run. It's keeping your core tight. So running is just one example. And the reason I bring up running so much in this podcast, and if you've listened to other podcasts of mine, you probably think I hate running. I do not hate running. It's just that it's a common theme where ladies use that as their main exercise, and then weight starts to come on after they stop the running. And it's usually they stop the running because either they're too busy or with kids or life happens, or they get an injury. And the injury is because of weak muscles. Now, let's look into exercise programs in general. A lot of us go into exercise programs, and if you're a lady, let's be honest here, you're going, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to look as ripped as that lady that's showing me that her exercise program is better than X, Y, or Z program out there. Well, the truth of the matter is, I don't think that any exercise program is really better than the other. I think it's what you do with it. And by that, I mean your commitment to keeping it going, but your connection with your mind and your body. Because exercising should feel good. If it doesn't feel good, we got to work on your basic health first. One, you know, are you eating properly? You know, what's going on with your gut? Is it toxic? What's going on with your liver? Is it toxic? Are you drinking too much? What's going on in that department? Because if you don't feel like working out, it's usually not that you're lazy. It's just that your body isn't healthy enough for exercise. I've worked with plenty of patients over the years who we've talked about, you know, they want to do CrossFit. They want to jump right into CrossFit. They want to jump right into running. They want to jump right into some boot camp type of exercise. And they're not ready for that. They go into it, and then they're so winded trying to keep up with other classmates or friends that are doing the exercise with them, and they throw themselves into it, literally throwing their big muscles in to try to do these workouts, and they get injured. And when exercise doesn't feel good, that's not good. That means you got to go back to the basics. Now, for a lot of us, going back to the basics is a huge ego thing. I'll be honest. I went into CrossFit working out, having, you know, worked out most of my life, and I was humbled at the fact that I couldn't lift as much as some of the other ladies in the group. And yeah, in some cases it hurt. Deadlifts in particular would lock my back up so bad. Now, if you're not familiar with what a deadlift is picking up weight from the floor using your hamstrings to pull you up, not your back. Now, hamstrings, glutes in particular. I was kind of like whipping the weight up from, I'm doing the demo here as if you could see me. I've got the weight on the floor and I had it on a bar and I was literally whipping it up like with a back flip, like kind of like not flip, but a back arch and literally kind of just throwing my hips forward and arching my back to get that weight up. And that's a surefire way to injure yourself. And of course, the folks at my gym are like, no, you gotta go back to like no weight. We're gonna teach you how to do the deadlift properly. And that's humbling, right? And I think at that moment I was like, you know, I should probably do all of the lifts that I'm gonna do at the basic level. And so I did. And I'm still working on a lot of it, and it's been probably about a year since I went back to basics and said I'm not going to throw myself into these exercises because it didn't feel good. If a workout doesn't feel good, like I said before, you got to go back to your health, or you've got to also go back to mobility. What's locked up? What's tight? Because most pain is not something that is needing surgery. It's usually a factor of tendons or ligaments are super tight because your joints are not mobile because you've been sitting on your butt for too long. Or it's because you've been doing certain exercises for too long with improper form and weak stabilizer muscles. One of the most commonly injured joints for ladies in particular is the shoulder. And it's because we tend to hunch forward a little bit, especially if you have larger breasts and you don't want to be kind of poking them out there. We hunch forward, then you put in the tech neck and computers and all that, and we're hunched forward. Well, that makes our pec muscles nice and strong because, you know, it takes some effort to pull you forward, and it makes your bicep kind of pull a little bit. But what happens is our triceps become weak, so that's your muscle on the backside of your biceps, that's the backside of your arm, and then your muscles on the backside of your shoulder become weak. And so that shoulder bone, meaning your humerus, the head of your humerus, that's your big bone of your arm, it's got like a ball on it, it slams forward in that socket. And what does it do? It presses on the nerves that come down through there. And so we get impingement types of issues where our hands go numb, we'll have issues with pain in the front of the shoulder. And the more you're doing exercises where you're like lifting overhead, or if you have kids and you're picking them up and you're lifting up and out of the car seat or whatnot, or picking them up just in general, that's a lifting motion that's going to be repetitive to the front of that shoulder. And so we end up with shoulder pain. Same thing does happen most commonly in CrossFit too, or any workouts where you're lifting weight and you're lifting weights where you're pressing it overhead. And that's the same factor. Your muscles in the back of your shoulder are weak. And ladies tend to have weaker triceps, meaning that muscle on the backside of the arm and the backside of the shoulder. Also your lats, those are kind of these wing muscles that come down and attach down into your back. Those guys are too super weak for a lot of ladies. And these are the imbalances that cause us to have injuries. Now, I'm not going to keep talking about injuries. What I want to talk about more so is thinking about how to feel these muscles, because I think a lot of us are not connected to our bodies. In fact, a lot of us I don't think are even in our bodies most days. We're like floating somewhere, you know, a couple feet above them. And while that might sound woo-woo, the truth of the matter is that I often challenge folks to walk and feel their feet. Not just walk, because we take it for granted that we can get up and walk every day. We take it for granted that we can get up and skip. We take it for granted that we can maybe jump up and jump down really quickly. Maybe not so high, but we can jump a little bit. But these are things that if we feel our feet, if we can feel our legs, we can feel our glutes. Now, this is a whole new ballgame in terms of an exercise, because a lot of times we don't get the results we want because we're not engaging the muscles that need to be engaged. Some of the most amazingly fit, and by this I mean fit, I mean strong ladies, are the ones who do Pilates. Why is that? Because Pilates is very small, calculated movements that work on your stabilizer muscles, your little muscles. Some of the most incredibly strong ladies, I'm not kidding you, are those folks, more so than the bodybuilders out there. Now, don't get me wrong, there are some bodybuilders that are amazingly strong, but there is a lot of work involved in bodybuilding. Whereas Pilates, yes, there's work involved in it, but it's a lot of mind and body. And it can also be very, very therapeutic, because what happens here is once you're started to connect into feeling how your muscles move, you start to feel other things in your body. You start to notice what types of foods don't agree with you, what types of other habits, moods, etc., what you can feel in your body. You become more connected to your universe. And by that, I mean you're like a better navigator of your surroundings, but also how the universe affects you. So these are super important things to think about. And the reason that I want my patients in my practice to become more involved in feeling their muscles and feeling their body move is because we have an amazing ability. We have so many nerves in our body that are called proprioceptive nerves. They determine where we are in space. They can help us to become more physically fit when we dial in to being able to feel these muscles. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. learning to feel your muscles and feel them work and know where you are in space for pretty much all of us is a foreign thing. We're not taught that. We're not taught that in high school, gym. We're not taught that, you know, even in a regular gym. Most of the time when I have folks going to gyms, the trainers just stand there and tell them how many reps and sets to do on a machine. And maybe they tell them when they could go up or down in weight, which is not benefiting them whatsoever. You need to be looking for trainers that, one, can assess how you move and tell you what you can do to help with your mobility before you move on to really heavy exercises with poor mobility. That's the type of trainer you want, or that's the type of coach you want in terms of working out. You want someone who's not going to push you to be, you know, doing ridiculous amounts of weight when you don't have form that's even proper. Now, how do you find these types of trainers? Well, there's some certifications out there that you should be looking for. Functional movement assessment training or certification is huge. There's a website called functionalmovement.com. They are in charge of helping with training and certifications for folks. I like the process. The guy's name's Gary Cook that came up with the system. And it's very dialed in and very detailed to help folks be able to feel how their body's moving, but also be able to feel the muscles engaging as they move much better. And these folks have FMS, so functional movement system assessment, or small functional movement assessment certifications. But like I said before, functionalmovement.com. Now, if you can't find anyone in that department near you, because you can search on their website with your zip code, there's also another group that I'm starting to become more and more familiar with because a lot of my folks from my gym are going to see these physical therapists. They're in a group called AROSTI. AROSTI is a style of therapy to help to get folks out of pain, basically looking at motion, finding out what's hung up in terms of the motion, finding out where there's restrictions in the body and helping to reduce those, but also helping to free up motion, also helping to work with the weak muscles of the body that are not engaging when this person does X, Y, or Z motion that causes them pain. Currently, the AROSTI trained folks are only in Washington, Texas, Illinois, Ohio, and Virginia, but they're becoming more and more popular, and I find this as they're most aligned in terms of physical therapists, in terms of style, as to what I look for when I want someone to go in and get a movement assessment from someone other than someone in a gym. Now, this is going to sound bad, but this is the reality that I have here where I'm in Washington State. There are a lot of physical therapists here, but there's only a few of them that are good with motion and movement assessment. Unfortunately, what's happened with physical therapy, at least as far as I can tell, is that we're working on a lot of rehab work for elderly patients. I don't want you to be seeing that kind of person. I want you to see someone that's sports specific. So if you're noticing that you're not finding a workout routine that suits you, you're hurting yourself or it just doesn't feel right, you're not jiving with it, you got to first look at your health overall. Because if you don't look at your health overall, then you're ignoring a huge component here. Because in the Chinese medicine world, your muscles are a reflection of your digestive system, and in particular, your spleen, as the Chinese will say. Now, what is the spleen in conventional terms? We think of it as recycling red blood cells as part of our immune system, but it's also part of what nutrients we take in and do we absorb the nutrients that we're taking in. So you got to look at your gut health. You got to look at your overall body health. What are you eating? What are you eating junk food? You know, what are you drinking? Too much alcohol goes to the liver. The liver in the Chinese world is in charge of tendons and ligaments. That's a huge deal. If your liver's trashed because you're taking too many medications, you're drinking too much alcohol, you're eating junk foods that have all kinds of toxins in them, well, of course your tendons and ligaments aren't going to work well. So you got to look at that first. After you get that settled and you dial in your health a little bit better, then it's time to go and find either a trainer or a physical therapist that can help you with movement. Now, I, you know, if you're wondering like, okay, I don't even know where to begin, go to your primary care doc and say, I want you to refer me to a physical therapist that'll do a functional movement assessment. If they have no idea what you're talking about, then you can get online. And like I said before, functionalmovement.com, that's one resource. You know, you can Google functional movement assessment physical therapist in my area. They will put that in their qualifications. And then what you want to do from there is you want to look for someone that is sports medicine specific, because you don't want to be going into a rehab style of physical therapy. You want folks that are working with active folks, because you want to be active. You're not coming off of, you know, any major, you know, you didn't break your leg or anything. Maybe you have some aches and pains, but you want to look for someone who can really work with your emotion to help you get better at that. At the same time, you want someone to help you in terms of working out. And that's where that physical therapist comes into play, or a trainer can come into play too. But you want someone to help you with, you know, hey, try a squat. Okay, you know, your glutes are way too weak for you to be doing a squat. Let's go back to basics and start with X, Y, or Z. So the idea here is going back to basics. I don't care if you've worked out in a gym on machines since you were in your teens. I think it's worth it to go back, get a functional movement assessment, and really see where you're at. Because, you know, if you're in your 50s and you're trying to get your workout routine going, or you're in your 20s and you want to start a workout routine, it doesn't matter what age you are. You need to know how well you move. And you need to know what inherent weaknesses you have. We all have them. No one is exempt from that. I have not seen one person in my practice ever that's, you know, 100% perfect on mobility. And in some cases, some folks are hypermobile, meaning that their joints move too much. This is a whole nother factor to take into consideration, because these are the folks that need to really work on strengthening and having that mind and muscle and body connection. You need to know your awareness and space. You need to be able to keep that mind connected to those muscles. So if you are double jointed, or if you notice that you sprain your knee or ankle a lot, you're one of those folks that might be a hypermobile individual. You especially want to go see a physical therapist who focuses on sports medicine for the hypermobile folks. Hypermobility is otherwise known as ligament laxity, and double jointedness is kind of the real common term to know if you've got some issues with that. And you're the person that's going to be a lot more prone to be injured. So this learning to connect the brain to small muscles to help with your posture, to help you feel your workout, versus like slamming yourself in a workout, goes a long way. Because the more that you can feel those small muscles firing, and the more that you can feel your body moving, the more that you will get endorphins released. And you'll get this high in terms of, wow, I am working to coordinate all of this. It's amazing how the brain feels when it can go, oh, I can feel the bottoms of my feet. I can feel my heels. I can feel when I go down in a squat and I come back up that I'm pushing that floor away from me. I can feel that motion. I can feel my glutes tightening. In fact, one of my most favorite exercises for ladies with weak glutes is to like squeeze your butt cheeks together, just like you're going to squeeze a pencil, let it go, squeeze a pencil, let it go. And it's amazing that folks can kind of feel that sensation after a while. It takes some time to really connect. Like I said before, a lot of us, and I'd say most of us, are not connected to our bodies and don't feel motion. And some days you are better than others. I will be honest, that sometimes I have days where if I'm tired, it's hard to connect. Another biggie is feeling your core, which is where I think core exercises are huge. And that's why the Pilates folks are amazing, because they're really dialed in and connected to their core muscles. Your core is what stabilizes you. It can help prevent back pain. It can help to get rid of back pain, the stronger that core is. It also is amazing for helping with so many different things, because ultimately, the reason I'm so passionate about folks wanting to connect their mind to their muscles is, yes, mood, but also to get hooked on feeling their body and feeling their self in space and how cool it is, so that this is a routine, right? This becomes a habit for life. But also because I don't think any of us really go into life wanting to be taken care of when we get older. We don't want to be a burden. We want to be nice and strong. But we also, I don't know about you, I like to impress people once in a while with, like, how amazing of little tricks I have. You know, just fun little party tricks that you can pull out just for the heck of it. But all that aside, I don't want to fall in my house and not have someone find me for 3 days. That happened to my grandma because she was super weak. I don't want to be that person. I don't have kids. My dogs aren't going to be taking care of me when I get older. I need to be independent, and I want to maintain that independence for life, and this is one of the ways to do it. Get your brain to feel your muscles and your body better, and now you can do little check-ins and go, oh, something's not right. Which leads me into my next component here is a lot of us are terrible with our postures throughout the day. We're leaning forward, we're hunching forward, we're standing with weight on one foot, we're kind of doing the kick the hip out with the hand on the hip kind of thing, and all the weight stay on the left or the right leg. That kind of stuff messes with your body's mobility. It also messes with your strength. It messes with your pelvis. And ladies in particular, most of the reason why we have back pain is because we have weak glutes and our pelvis is twisted. Usually because we like to stand with all our weight on one leg versus the other. So working on focusing on standing evenly with weight evenly distributed between the 2 feet and evenly distributing the weight on your actual feet too. Feeling the ball of your foot. Now, one of the things I would say, you know, a lot of people are going to be listening to this podcast not being able to just stand in a particular area, but I would say whatever you're doing right now, try to feel your feet. Do they feel even to you? Does one feel like it's rolling out a little bit more than the other? Does it feel like you have pressure in certain areas more on one foot than the other? Dial that in. See what you feel. Then I have folks work on tightening and relaxing certain muscles in their body to try to see if you can even that out. Or just distributing the weight differently, rocking back and forth a little on your feet to reset. For all of those out there that have stand-up desks, that's a big thing because for a lot of folks now, we're starting to see that while the stand-up desks are better than sitting, they are creating new problems of how we stand. So posture, and feeling your feet, feeling your butt, feeling your legs. What are they doing? What feels different? Just start to get to know your muscles better. Get to know your joints. Get to know your postures better. And make it a habit. Now, another biggie in terms of helping folks to work on that mind-body connection is making it fun, right? I like to play with feeling, you know, my feet in different, you know, positions, curling up my toes, putting my toes back down on the ground. I also like to, you know, rock up onto my ball of my foot and kind of go back down to my heel and kind of reset things. My coach, Meredith at CrossFit, is always talking about our feet, and I love it because they are your platforms. They are what is going to help you to move better. And most of us have problems with our back because we walk terribly, our feet are not striking the ground evenly. In fact, if you have old shoes, take your old shoes and look at the bottom of your old shoes and see where you're wearing those shoes. It's going to give you a lot of insight into how you walk. Take those shoes into your physical therapist or whoever's going to do your movement assessment and show them to them because it makes a huge difference. And I'm not talking just about strength here. I'm talking about preventing injury, preventing pain, getting out of pain if you have pain. So these routines, how do you make it a habit? Well, it's got to be fun, like I said before, but it's also got to be something that fuels your mind-body connection. You actually enjoy how you feel doing this particular exercise. And for me, I enjoy lifting weights. And part of it is I enjoy how I feel kind of making the tweaks and concentrating to lift these weights. It's like a challenge. And in fact, challenges are really great to help keep you motivated. In fact, right now I'm working on a challenge to do some pretty cool calisthenic stuff. And I'm working on a program from Frank Medrano. If you're curious about him, frankmedrano.com. He is a calisthenics workout guru. He does not use anything but body weight for his workouts. And the dude's incredibly ripped. But one of his key components is that he's getting folks starting at basics, feeling their muscles, feeling themselves working, those muscles working, and gradually doing incremental improvement when they have mastered certain motions properly. So check him out. And I'm working to try to do some of the cool calisthenic stuff so that I can hang on the bar at the gym better. And perhaps maybe by next year in the early spring, March time, I will be ready to do a little pose. There was a picture from another local gym, not the one that I go to, where a gal was hanging on the bar showing off her muscles. And so we wanted to do that, but one up that move in terms of doing a pretty cool calisthenic move that Frank Medrano does, where he is holding onto the bar and the rest of his body is coming straight out from that bar. So stay tuned. I'm going to try to do some cool trick stuff like that. My coach Meredith at Town Athletics in Tacoma is also on board to try to help me there, and we'll see what happens. So stay tuned till that. We'll see if I get there. But what this has done for me is got me going back to basics to start to feel my muscles. I had done planks, just basic hands on the floor, feet on the floor planks for minutes on end for a long period of time. But when I started to feel my muscles more in the plank, I started to realize my shoulders were going rotated forward. They weren't rotated back. I wasn't even really engaging my core to do the plank. Now that I can feel all those muscles, I can really start to see more definition coming out in my abs. In, you know, it's been about 2 months now that I've been doing this, I'm starting to see more definition. And for a lot of people, it's the little muscles that you feel, that mind-body connection. That's where you get that progress with workouts when you've been let down before because you're just throwing your big muscles at the workout. You're not going back to basics. So just seeing change in your body and not being let down does come down to the little things. And yes, I am a huge proponent of switching up routines every 4 to 6 weeks. One, to prevent boredom, but also with progression, like I said before, making it harder for your muscles to keep going. You want them developing. You want your mobility to keep improving. And so finding a trainer or a functional movement PT trainer to help you with reaching your goals, absolutely huge. Because if you go back to the basics, you know, tuck down that pride, just put it away and go back to the basics, it's going to be huge in the long run. Because like I said before, with my planks, I realized I was doing them wrong. Bird dogs. This was where we were in a plank and I had one arm, the opposite arm out and the opposite leg out. I couldn't do it like that. I actually had to go down to my knees, and I'm still working on my knees. You know, hands on the floor, knees on the floor, and one arm out. So like my right arm out and my left arm out. And holding that for 30 seconds, I've come a long way. Because at the beginning of it, I was just throwing myself into doing that in a plank mode. And I couldn't even do it right. I was just kind of trying to keep myself up there, hurting my back as I went along. Now, with my hands on the floor and my knees on the floor and one arm out, one leg out, it's impressive how now I'm not shaking as much. And I'm starting to feel that connection in my abs. And like I said before, more change in the muscles that you did not see before. You want to feel your muscles firing, and don't move past that movement until you got it right and it feels right. Like I said before, most people quit workout routines because they don't feel right. So keeping also in mind, like I said before, and I probably say a million times in these different podcasts, please stop going into workouts about weight loss. Think about it in terms of future mobility, you know, not being the old hunched over lady with their cane or crutches. You don't want to be that. Not even crutches. What is it? My brain's not functioning. I need to work on my brain connection for words. But yes, crutches are not it. A cane or even a that's funny. Anyway, yeah, you know what I mean. Those things. You don't want to have that. I don't have kids, like I said, too, and these are the types of things. You don't want to be independent. You want to be independent. You don't want to be dependent on someone. And strength and being able to feel your muscles and your mobility goes a long way for you to remain independent for a very long time. My goal is pretty much independent till I die. I want to die in my own house. I'm not going to a nursing home, all that. No way. So what should you be doing right at this moment if this sounds good to you? You need to get into this kind of routine. Like I said, go to a physical therapist that is functional movement trained, or FunctionalMovement.com can help you find a trainer as well, or a Rosti if you have the Rosti physical therapy group near you. That is another big group to look at. And I will put all of this in my podcast notes at DocJKrausND.com. Now, one of the things that a lot of my patients ask me is what basic movement should everyone be working on for life? And I'm going to give you the list. And like I said before, these will be on my in my podcast notes at Dr. I said Doc. I keep saying that. That's my email. DrJKrausND.com helps if I know my own website. Yes, DrJKrausND.com will be all of these things outlined for you. But the basic movements everyone should be working on are squats, because if you're a lady, you need to be able to squat over a public restroom, just saying. And if you go to China or any of the countries that have the pit toilets, you better need to be able to squat. It helps you from making a mess, let's just say it that way. Now, the other big thing is being able to bend down, lift things up. Huge, huge for squats. Plus, it helps with your mobility, your hips, keeps your hips healthy, your knees healthy, and your glutes stronger for life. Push-ups, I think everyone should be able to do push-ups. Start with the basics. Start with wall push-ups. You can YouTube how to do a wall push-up, and then move to knees on the floor push-up, and then move to full-on plank to push-up. Dips, huge. Dips are working on your triceps. YouTube it. Dips are huge because they're one of the things that you need in addition to being able to pull yourself up. The dips would help you with your triceps to push yourself up should you fall. I absolutely think everyone should be working on planks for core. And I mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast the bird dog style of planks where you're on your hands and knees and one arm out and the opposite leg out. Also side planks. You can Google this. Frank Medrano has videos on his YouTube channel on all of the different styles of planks. And I think it's important to work on starting at a certain second amount that you can handle and then going up by 1 second a week and see where you get. I do think that we also need to work on rolling our shoulders back, especially if you're a lady. The shoulders are huge. We roll forward way too much, whether it's our breasts pulling us forward, our pecs are too tight because we're stressed, we're pulling down and forward because we're tech necking, or even just anyone with asthma or difficulties breathing, rolling those shoulders back, absolutely huge. And rolling them back and squeezing down kind of below the armpit, that muscle there, you can feel it. You roll the shoulder back and then squeeze down. It's almost like you're taking your shoulder blades and pulling them down and back. If you work on that and holding those for 5-6 seconds and doing like 10-15 of them a day, it'll go for a long way to help with strengthening you. It'll also be huge when you get in your plank position to work on your core, to roll those shoulders back and feel those lats squeezing down along with your shoulder blades squeezing down. It helps with posture, but it also helps with shoulders because, like I said earlier in this podcast, one of the big injuries for ladies is shoulder injuries. So something to think about there. And then balance, marching, high knee type of exercises, absolutely huge. Yes, helps the core, but standing on one leg, I'm shocked by how many ladies can't do that in my office. It's disturbing. It's downright disturbing how many folks that are in even their late 20s that can't stand on one leg and balance. Absolutely huge, because your balance is your proprioception. And this is why I like yoga. Yoga does help really well with balance. I love a lot of the yoga poses, like even the tree pose, some of the most basic poses, because to get that balance proper, you're looking back at your mind and your muscle and your body connection, and in particular feet. Balance is a lot about your feet and then working all the way up from those feet to tighten those right muscles to make you feel balanced in space. So those are the basics. Bonus exercises that I think a lot of people can be working on is rows, jump rope, jumping jacks, lunges, stepping up onto boxes or steps, pull-ups, huge. And the reason I mentioned pull-ups, now don't do a pull-up just straight out of nowhere. You've got to work on your upper body strength and your arm strength before you try to bang a pull-up out of nowhere. But pull-ups can be huge because, well, if you fall, if you need to get yourself out of a hole because you fell in a manhole, I don't know. I mean, things happen, right? And these are the ways to help to save yourself. You know, say there's a flood and you're stuck and the only way out is to pull yourself up off the ground and up out of this hole. I don't know. That's the way you're going to do it. I always think worst case scenario, but I think it's important to think about the situations that we can be in and that can happen. And the more that you have these functional movement abilities to pull yourself out of trouble, I mean, and remain independent, this is huge. This is huge for fitness for life, but also strength for life. But also helping with that mind-body connection, because the more that you can dial in that brain to muscle, tendon, ligament, and location and space, the better off you're going to be physically, fitness-wise. You're going to see improvements because you're working on those small muscles, but you're also going to feel the exercises. You're going to be more involved. You're going to be more wanting to buy in to doing more of it, because when you finally dial in that connection between brain and muscles, working out feels good. It gives you a high. It's much like that runner's high, but you got to work for it. And it can work out a whole lot of other things like trauma and things of that nature. And I hope to have my coach Meredith on the podcast soon so we can talk just about this, because that mind and muscle and tendon and ligament connection, having that dialed in is extremely therapeutic, because it can help us to change patterns of movement, patterns of even how we react in stressful situations, because a lot of us try to wear our shoulders as earrings when we're stressed. But if we start to recognize we're doing that, we can roll those shoulders back and do that exercise like I mentioned, and help with breathing and connecting in there where your feet are in space so that you feel grounded. And guess what? Now you've got a tool to help you to manage stress as well. So connecting the mind to your muscles goes a lot further than working just strictly in fitness, but fitness is the first place to start so that you can be independent for life. So think about those things. If you're dabbling and trying to find the right exercise routine for you, I highly recommend, like I said earlier in the podcast, looking at trainers who are functional movement system trained, such as functionalmovement.com. Go check out that website, or a Rosti, like I said before, for a physical therapist. If you want the dynamic duo, find a physical therapist that has a trainer that they work with. Now you've got a powerful duo that they can work together to help you get to your goals, and they can give you a fitness prescription that you can work on your own time and start to develop that mind and muscle connection. And you will be shocked how you feel over time as exercising starts to feel good and feels fun, as you're really exploring how your body feels in different positions and how cool it is that you can change the position you're in just by feeling where your feet are in space, just by telling if certain muscles are firing or not. It's one of those things that it's almost like you're curious, and then when you realize that you can do that, it's amazing how you can change your strength. You can lift more weights. You can do things for longer periods of time when you have that proper connection from your mind and your body, and your mind to muscles and tendons and ligaments. It's quite cool. So there you have it. We've kind of covered all of the aspects of what you need to do to help yourself to get into a routine for fitness and how to go about it. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you on this one. I love to talk about helping folks to get fit and creating routines for fitness. And hey, I'm just here to help. You can always submit questions through my website at drjkrausnd.com. You can always give me a shout on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'd love to hear from my folks. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Love to hear if anybody tries things out, how it goes for you, and success stories too. Once again, you've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Thanks for tuning into The Health Fix, the podcast all about taking control of your health, rebelling against aging, and having fun every day. A lot of patients ask me, do you think I'm aging too fast? So, I created an evaluation checklist for you to see for yourself. Plus, I created a resource guide to help you slow down the aging process right now. You can find it for free on my website, drjkrausnd.com. healthfix.com. If you like this podcast, help get the word out to others by liking it and rating it. If you'd like more natural health tips and want to join our Facebook community where I interact daily, click on the Join Group button on our website at drjkrausnd.com.